Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise God, this is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm so glad you could join us today. We're going to be getting into something really, really important and something we haven't talked about in a while. Specifically, we've kind of talked about it, but we're going to get into it today, and that is prosperity. God wants you to prosper. Now, this comes as a shock to a lot of folks, but stay tuned on today's netcast because we're going to be getting into that in great detail and maybe look at some things a little differently than perhaps you have looked at them from a biblical prosperity point of view. So hang in there. Do want to make a couple of announcements. The Word of Faith Radio project for 2013 is micro broadcasting, and I encourage you to check out the information on the Word of Faith Radio website. And of course, that is WOFR.org, stands for Word of Faith Radio. Very simple to remember. WOFR.org, because we are a nonprofit organization at Word of Faith Radio. Tell you what, you need to check out that big red banner. You know, we always put the announcements on the red banner there. And Harold Cagle and Peggy Cagle run Word of Faith Radio. I help out technically as best I can. So I work there as technical director in a voluntary capacity. Praise the Lord. Because the station is getting out the Word of God to the world. And I mean that. Over 170 countries around the world are being blessed by Word of Faith Radio. Now, you just can't beat that, praise the Lord, in terms of return on investment, if you will, in terms of reaching folks. And there's a lot of folks listening, like I said, from all over the world. But this micro-broadcasting project, I am really excited about it, both, as I've said before, from a technical point of view and also from a spiritual point of view of reaching a lot of folks. Because not everybody has learned about internet broadcasting. Not everybody knows that they can tune in using their computer, their smartphone, tablets, all kinds of other devices. You can actually use a little application or app, as it's called, to be able to pull down internet radio from Word of Faith Radio. And of course, there, if you go to the Word of Faith Radio site up in the upper right hand corner, there is a little link to an Android app. If you have any kind of Android device, that's an Android tablet or Android phone or any of those kinds of things. We're working on getting an iPad, an iPod app. That's proven to be a little more involved, so we're getting that done. So a lot of things happening, a lot of excellent opportunities to receive from the Word of God. So I want to encourage you to check that out. Of course, I usually mention our SpeakFaith.tv project. We don't have anything like brand new to announce other than there have been a lot of updates to the various ministers' RSS feeds, Really Simple Syndication. You've heard me talk about that before, which means that you've got new content, new messages to receive from these ministers. And I tell you, there's some exciting stuff out there. And I do want to remind you that SpeakFaith.tv also has a beta version. The beta version is where we try out preliminary feeds from different ministers. And right now in the beta version, we have, we have added Jesse Duplantis, we have added Bishop Keith Butler. We've got a lot of folks out there that are in the beta channel. Now, they haven't officially given us permission to put them in the production side yet. We are trying to contact them and encourage them to allow us, because it is free. There's no cost to them whatsoever. To allow us to have them on the production side. So praise the Lord. They'll be added as it goes along, as the most recent addition, which is, of course, Pastor Mac Hammond from, I believe it's Minneapolis. Is that the area he's from, or Minnesota? Somewhere out there. but praise the Lord, the message, he's getting in some good things, and he's got some new programs out there as well. So check that all out. Excellent, excellent stuff. Well, I am excited about getting into the Word of God today. That's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to jump right into the Word. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And what we're going to be talking about, the title for this is The Power to Get Wealth. The Power to Get Wealth. Now, there's two things I want you to see from that title. Power and wealth. All right? There, first, we have to define our, you know, our words here. Define what we're talking about. Power here is not talking about power like strength, like... you know, how many foot-pounds of pressure, you know what I'm saying, from a physics point of view, power, no. We're talking about authority or ability. Authority or ability, that kind of power, okay? And then wealth. When you say wealth, what do you think of? Do you think of, you know, Richie Rich, the old cartoon, or Mr. Moneybags? Some folks might think of Scrooge McDuck, you know, all these different cartoon versions of rich people, or Daddy Warbucks, you know, if you go back far enough, old enough to remember Little Orphan Annie and Daddy Warbucks. But all of these people that are considered rich, some people think of Bill Gates. You know, for the longest time, he was the richest man in the world. He's no longer the richest man in the world. But all of these people that are wealthy, and you, do you think of wealth when you think of that? Is that what comes to mind when you think of wealth? Well, wealth is a broad term. Wealth has to do with, and this is maybe the best way to look at it, having your needs met physically, emotionally, mentally, and then the most important, spiritually. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a physical body, you deal with other people, so that's the, you know, the social realm, and then you deal with finances, that is dealing in the financial area. So Brother Kenneth Copeland a long time ago used the phrase that to be born again, talking about being born again, he said being born again, the word sozo, deals with being made whole or complete, spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially. Have you ever heard him say that? Spirit, soul, body, financially, socially. Those five areas. Those five areas are what we deal with on a day-to-day basis as people, okay? So when we talk about wealth, we're talking about a prospering or a benefit or being sound. See, I love that word sozo in the Greek that means to be saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, and delivered from all temporal evil. You've heard me use that definition many, many times. And y'all, you know, I know some people are saying, Dr. Bill, you rattled that off. I mean, how in the world? Well, that's built down into my spirit, man. I have built that in there over the years. I say that phrase without even thinking about it, all right? Because it's coming up out of my spirit. I've studied it. I've meditated on it. And so should you. Because the word sozo, which comes from Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That's what we preach here. The word of faith. The word of faith which we preach, that, or, what is the word of faith? That, see, that's the definition. This is why I'm going to stop. And I want you to see it. What we're about to say is the word of faith. That if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be sozoed. Saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, and delivered from all temporal evil. Now that's what salvation is. Okay? That's not some weird doctrine that we made up. That's not some, oh, it's just special to word of faith. No, this is the message that Paul said he and the people with him preached. He said the word of faith which we preach. Barnabas preached it. Peter preached it. Timotheus preached it. All the folks that were with Paul ministering the word of God, that's what they preached, is the word of faith. Well, you know, to quote the old Baptist, if it's good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. Now, in that case, that story is talking about the King James Bible. If it's good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. Well, the King James Bible came out in 1611. Okay, Paul lived a long time before 1611, so he wasn't using the King James, but he was preaching the uncompromising word of faith, amen? So, I can say if it's good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me, the uncompromising word of faith message. Now, what about this word of faith? What about this prosperity? See, a lot of people say prosperity preaching in a derogatory manner, and I understand why. Don't get me wrong, okay? I understand why they say it, because there has been excess, listen to me closely, there has been excess in prosperity preaching. Amen. You know it's so. The preachers that get up and say, if you'll give $1,000 in this offering today, why, you'll have a supernatural debt breakthrough and your house will be paid off. Give me chapter and verse for that. Okay? Now, here's the thing. God does want you to prosper financially. He does want you to be in health physically. Does that necessarily mean you will be, every single Christian will be a multi-trillionaire, you know, a Bill Gates level or beyond rich person? That's the question that a lot of folks need to ask themselves, because there are a lot of Christians, again, listen closely, there are a lot of Christians who feel either condemned or feel like they're not achieving what they should achieve, or that they're somehow not spiritual enough or something. Otherwise, why aren't they all rich like Bill Gates? And he's not even a believer. I mean, what's up with this, Dr. Bill? Well, I tell you, that's not the kind of prosperity we're talking about, that every single believer will be a multi-trillionaire. Okay? That is a misconception. As a matter of fact, it's actually, I want you to listen closely to this, because if you don't, you're going to miss something. That is actually a low level of understanding of prosperity. Whoa! Some of you just completely lost what I was trying to say there. You, what? What? You mean if I was as rich as Bill Gates, it would not be prosperous enough? Well, that's not exactly what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, biblical prosperity has nothing to do with your bank account. Amen? You say, now, Dr. Bill, you're going to have to show me that out of the scripture. Well, I will. But I want to stimulate your thinking. I want you thinking about this, because this, it's easy to fall into a trap of thinking that if I'm not counting my money and stacking it up like Scrooge McDuck, you know, his gold. He had this big vault of gold. You can tell I watched a lot of cartoons growing up. Anyway, the point is, if that's your picture of rich, then you're going to miss the definitions that we're going to be talking about from the scripture. Okay, let's just cut to the chase. What is the biblical definition of rich? What is that biblical definition? The biblical definition of rich is soundness. Okay? Soundness. Okay, what does that mean? That means wholeness, completeness. Not experiencing lack. You say, well, now, wait a minute, Dr. Bill, I experience lack. Well, now, hold on. You grow in this just like you grow in anything else from the Word of God. I am sure that a lot of you are living better from a physical health point of view now than you did when you started getting into the Word of God concerning health. I didn't say you'd arrived yet. Some of you may be facing sickness and disease right now that are watching this as I speak. But overall, most believers that have been studying the Word of God concerning healing are healthier than their peers, you know, people that they work with, people that they see, so forth. Overall, I would say they're healthier. Okay, now, I'll say it this way. The people that I know that hear the Word on a regular basis, regular, consistent basis, go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, listen to the Word of God on a regular, consistent basis, go to meetings and receive blessing from the Lord, from revelation knowledge, they're healthier than the folks that don't do that. Matter of fact, there have been studies, actual scientific studies, that demonstrate that. You don't believe it? Look it up. Just generally, people that go to church on a regular basis are healthier, both physically and emotionally and socially, and have better marriages than those who don't. That is established by scientific studies. Okay, so your revelation knowledge of, and we were talking about healing a while ago, healing means that you live in better health. Have you arrived? Probably not. Okay, we're still learning, we're still growing. The moment you say, I have arrived and I no longer need to learn anything from the Word of God, well, you're in error. Forget it, okay? You need to start over. So, let's go back now to finances. Does living in prosperity mean that you have gold stacked up all around your house, can't even walk for all the gold? No. But it means you don't live in lack. Amen? Now, you can look right here if you're watching the video edition. You can see that I'm sitting in a nice, comfortable chair. I have behind me my office where I have computers and I have books and I have equipment and so forth. This is a nice house. You say, well, la-di-da, Dr. Bill. I'm glad things are working out so well for you. Yeah, but here's the thing. All of it is a blessing of the Lord. All of it is because God has given me the ability to get wealth. None of it can be attributed to me personally as a human being, as an individual, in my own strength. I was not born with a silver spoon in my mouth. You know the old saying, born with a silver spoon in your mouth? I didn't have a lot of family inheritance. Matter of fact, my dad lost his job, was asked to leave from the Baptist orphanage that he was working at because he had a heart operation and they wanted to basically get rid of him because they didn't want to have to take care of him. And he said, well, that's harsh. Well, yes, it was. And it was hard on him. It was hard on our family. We basically went to the only place we could go, which was a little cabin down on the lake that he owned, and had no job, no income, and lived for several years essentially with no job and no income. They raised food by growing it in a little garden, scraping to get by. We didn't have a lot of money. But guess what? We didn't have lack. What? We ate every day. Breakfast, lunch, supper. Well, how can that be, Dr. Bill? I didn't have any income. Yeah, but see, Mom and Dad were tithers. They tithed their entire adult lives. They were tithers, they were givers, and they were open and free with their giving. And you know what? During those few years when there was no income whatsoever, people brought food. Mom and Dad grew food in the yard. I went to school, caught the bus, came home from school, and did not know, because they didn't tell me, that there was no income at all for 2 years. It was years later that Dad was sharing with me, by the way, do you remember that period of time? Well, yeah. You know what? I didn't know that there was no money because we had no lack. I want you to think about that. During that time, there was no money in the checking account per se, but God met all our needs. You say, well, that's a tremendous testimony, Dr. Bill, but that's very unusual. No, it's not. That's the way we live. We're not moved by what we have in our bank account. We're not moved by the money you can rub together with your fingers. We are moved only by the Word of God. We are moved only, I want you to listen to this, by what the Bible says about us. Okay, good segue. What does the Bible say about us? Let's go to Deuteronomy 8:18. I said we were going there and then I got off on talking about all that, but it was good. I'm not going to take any of it back. Deuteronomy 8:18, but thou shalt remember. Woo! I could get off on a preach right there. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. What is it you're supposed to remember? How much money you have in the bank? What is it you're supposed to remember? Oh, my checking account. No. Remember the Lord your God. That's who you're supposed to be considering and thinking about. Not how much money you have, not what you have in the bank, not how much money you're sitting on in your retirement plan. No. Remember the Lord your God. He's the one that's going to supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Okay? We're going to get to that. It looks like we'll get to it today, but we're going to get to it. Praise the Lord. This is going to be a series, I can tell. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he, God, that giveth thee, that's you, the power, authority, ability to get wealth. What is the word wealth here? The word wealth is force, resources, an army, wealth, as in financial wealth, virtue, valor, or strength, ability, or activity. Woo, boy, what a definition. This is the Hebrew word chahil. Chahil. Don't you love Hebrew? Hebrew and Greek, I tell you. But God gives you the power to have force, to have means, to have resources, to have wealth, to have virtue, valor, and strength, to have ability. God gives you that. Let's go back and read it. Remember, the Lord thy God, it's he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Now, Brother Charles Capps talks about the law of double reference. I love that phrase, the law of double reference. This scripture has a law of double reference that you can apply to it. God gives us the ability or power or the right, the privilege to get wealth for two things. To establish his covenant in the earth, meaning to preach the gospel to the whole world, because it takes finances to do that. And also to establish his covenant that he's made with us, that he would be his, be the provider, our provider, and be the one who gives us financial and physical sustenance. You remember what Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. In other words, our sustenance, our life, what we live off of. Lord, give us this day. It doesn't come from your ability, from your hand. God gives you the power and ability to get financial wherewithal, blessing, all of the things that come to us, that his his covenant may be established, meaning because he said he would do it, and also that his covenant may be established, meaning preach the word to the nations. Never lose sight of the fact that the whole reason that God wants to prosper you is so he can preach the gospel to the nations. It's not so you can have a new shiny car. It's not so you can have the latest, greatest, best toys. Now, there's nothing wrong with cars, and there's nothing wrong with toys. I love my toys, okay? All my electronics, I love that. And I praise the Lord for that. But that's not why he gave it to us. He gave us the ability to get wealth in order that we establish his covenant here in the earth, meaning preach the gospel, as well as that he may establish his covenant to us, meaning he keeps his promises. God is not a man that he should lie. He keeps his promises to us, praise the Lord. But here's what I want you to see out of this. This is where I've been trying to get to this whole message. God gives us the ability to get wealth, meaning the wealth doesn't rain on us like ripe cherries off a tree while we just sit around and say, "Oh, just rain it down, Lord. I'm sitting here. I'm waiting." That's not how it works. He gave us these hands to put them to work, to do something. Did you know that the same Bible that says that God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, that same Bible also says, if a man does not work, he should not eat? Wait a minute, Dr. Bill. I mean, isn't that contradictory? Not at all. Because you've got to get understanding of what financial prosperity is about. It is not sitting around waiting for finances to fall on you. It's not sitting around and making an occasional trip to the post office because somebody's going to send you money in a letter. That's not primarily, now God can do that, okay? But that's not primarily how he does it. He does it by giving you ability, by giving you the power, the ability, the right, the privilege to earn wealth. Let's put it that way. Now maybe you'll see where I'm headed here. He gives you ability. There's a lot of people say, "Well, Dr. Bill, it's not fair. You do all that computer stuff. Of course you make a lot of money." Well, praise the Lord. I learned how to do the computer stuff well over 30 years ago. Been in the computer industry for over 30 years. But you know, I wasn't born a computer guy. I wasn't born with knowledge of electronics. I had to go out and learn it. I had to apply myself. I had to go to school. Matter of fact, I went to school after work. This is after I was an adult. I'd already been through high school, already been through college, got an art degree. Bless my heart. What are you going to do with an art degree, right? The running joke for our whole class was, you get an art degree so you can be a starving artist in New York. That's not exactly my idea of spending 4.5 years, which is what my degree was. I instead of just getting a bachelor's, I got a BFA, which is a longer degree, 4.5 year degree. 4.5 years of art to go be a starving artist in New York. No. No. Sorry. That's not what I wanted to do. So I stayed in school. I went, started working my master's, radio and television communications. All right. Unfortunately, still a regret to this day, I didn't finish that master's, but not a regret, I went into full-time ministry, praise the Lord. But I was able to use the radio and television background to do what I did in ministry full-time. Then I got into computers. I had to go to school at night after work, like I said, and developed tools. But it was God that gave me the ability to learn what I learned, to study what I studied, and get what is now the blessing that I'm living in because of him, not because of me. Whew, I'm out of time. Wow, I'd love to tell you more about that. So you'll just have to tune in next time as we continue with our message on the power to get wealth. Wow, we're really out of time. Write me here at Word of Faith Ministries. Word of Faith Ministries, our address is P.O. Box 5213 5213 High Point, North Carolina. The zip code 27262. You can also write me at my email address, which is drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at wofm.org. As I've said before, our Word of Faith Ministries website, wofm.org, has tremendous resources available. Go get that information, and remember until next time to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.